Oh, hey there, Ghostbuster fans. Welcome to Why We Bust, a weekly show where we look at the Ghostbuster cosplay community across the world and we ask individuals the burning question that's on everybody's mind. Why do you do what you do? This show is powered by Memoriam Development, the Windy City Ghostbusters, and viewers like you. So turn that pack off, shut your trap, and take the night off and enjoy Why We Bust. Welcome back, everyone, to Why We Bust, the show where we take a deep dive into Ghostbusters fandom, one proton pack journey at a time. I'm your host, Matt Goldenboat, and today we've got something special for you. Our guest today is someone who doesn't just love Ghostbusters, they love and breathe it. From suiting up to crafting custom equipment, Xander Price has made a name for themselves in the fandom, both in Ghostbusters field and at the workbench. We're going to talk about their journey from fan to full-fledged Ghostbuster, the gear they create, and the impact it's making along the way. So grab your PKE meters and settle in. It's time to find out why we bust. Xander, welcome to the show, buddy. How are we doing today?
I'm good. Long day at work, but finally off. I've been looking forward for this since you guys emailed me. So
fantastic, man. Well, we miss you up here, and you know, hopefully you can come back and join us here for some events and stuff. But so I take it you've watched in maybe an episode or two of what we do here. And so, yeah, we're going to take a little deep dive into why you bust. So we're going to jump into the, we'll call it the Ready Player One Ghostbuster themed DeLorean, and take a trip back to when you were a kid. What was your first Ghostbusters memory? Was it the movies? Was it the animated series? Or was it something completely different? Like you ended up with a Slimer eraser on your pencil and you were wondering what it was.
So funny enough, very first movie I ever saw. I'm a kid of the 80s. I was born in 87, so I'm a little bit past when Ghostbusters 1 came out. But very first movie I ever saw, also the first cartoon I remember, was The Real Ghostbusters. Unfortunately, still my second favorite cartoon because it's kind of hard to top Darkwing Duck, but
right on.
But yeah, always been a fan. I love, like, ever since I first saw the movie when I was itty bitty, I was addicted to it. I still have somewhere in my house, or at least at my parents' house, an old, like, off the TV set recording on VHS of Ghostbusters 1 and 2. So, yeah, I've been a little obsessed ever since then.
Now, is it actually labeled Ghostbusters 1 and 2, or is it labeled, like, you know, Xander's first birthday and it was recorded over with Ghostbusters? Or
it's funny, Richard, I have no idea what's crossed out, but there's something there. It's crossed out, and then Ghostbusters 1 and 2 is underneath it. I have no idea what was written on that VHS.
Isn't that funny? If you're a child of the 80s and 90s, in your parents' VHS collection, there was definitely a few VHSs that were probably something precious that somebody recorded over. So I would say that a worthy thing to possibly record over a great family event would be Ghostbusters 1 and 2. So what about Ghostbusters pulled you in? Was it the ghost, the humor, the tech, or was it something completely different?
Yes. No, like, whenever I first started watching it, like, from what I can remember, because as many of us don't want to admit how long ago that was, I remember watching it and being completely drawn in by, especially, like, the ghosts. Like, I loved Slimer as a kid. I mean, absolutely adored that thing. I don't even mean, like, the real Ghostbusters Slimer. I mean Onion Head Slimer.
Yep.
I absolutely loved that. I remember my parents, and this is going to sound really, really weird. Whenever I was being potty trained, my parents got me the real Ghostbusters underwear, and they told us, like, remember, you got to keep this clean or the Slimer is going to go away.
Wow.
I remember that. Like, it worked. I tried that with Phoenix, and you guys know Phoenix. Yeah. I did that stuff with Phoenix whenever we were potty training him. It wasn't Ghostbusters. Actually, well, a couple of them were Ghostbusters because they had movies out and stuff. So, yeah, like, my youngest memories, I have photos of me and my older sister where she's holding me and I'm like maybe 4. I'm wearing like full Ghostbusters pajamas. I remember how I know the kids nowadays will grab a stick and go, look, ooh, sword. I grabbed the stick, but ooh, Neutrona won.
Yeah, and that's hilarious because, like, as an adult, I kind of wish I had, like, Ghostbusters pajamas. I'm not going to lie. Like, if you know, one of these companies wanted to do, like, a Ghostbusters onesie or a two-piece Ghostbuster themed, I'm all in, man. I you know, it. We won't go to the unmentionable era, but I would definitely wear Ghostbusters underwear. I may have a pair. So... Do you remember the first moment as a fan realizing I want to be a Ghostbuster?
Probably when I was in high school. Like I joined the GB fans when I was still in high school. So that was about 2004.
Okay.
I think I'm one of the oldest active members on that website still. But I remember joining them, looking through all the posts because I was wanting to make my own proton pack. But even back then, and I remember coming across like some of the, what I guess now they're considered junk builds, with people taking stuff from all around their house and making them. And I remember studying for hours. I still have I think it was Stefan plans, like printed out like from forever and a day ago. I still have my original copies printed out from back when I was still living at home. And it was I still use them for some, like, if I had a friend not too long ago who does burlesque, and she wanted a really light proton pack, so she wanted to do a routine. So I used those plans, used foam board and EVA foam, and just made her a quick and dirty pack.
That's, you know, I often say that, you know, it if it looks the part, it can play the part.
Oh,
especially,
yeah.
Especially during something like that where your casual fan isn't going to really even, you know, pick something apart. It's not like being, you know, at an expo or something where someone's like, hey, that's the no, like it's like that. That's awesome that you're able to do that. And we're going to dive a little bit into some of your builds and some of the stuff that you do here. So I got it all laid out here, buddy. We're going to be good. So, now you said that, you know, back in the early 2000s, you were doing that when you were a kid. Did you ever dress up as a Ghostbuster? Oh, Amber frozen.
Yep.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Garaka has taken his soul.
He's frozen in time. He's going to be like this forever.
Ah, it's so sad.
Do, 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 do. Bob's back.
I'd sing, but nobody'd enjoy that. Maybe somebody would. I don't know. Hey, there's Bob again.
Well. Sometimes when all else fails in the world, you just need to jump on and say hello to help fill dead air from the lagging guest.
And that's okay.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Why We Bust. I am your director, Bob, for Bob After Dark. I'm just coming in here to help save the day a little bit and help give a chance for somebody to get a chat in. My name is Bob. I am with the Windy City Ghostbusters, and it is awesome to see both of you.
Thank you. And you are the purported Mothman.
That is a rumor. It is a nasty rumor that I have I absolutely have zero belief in. If I was the Mothman, how would I have a statue of myself that doesn't look anything like me in West Virginia?
Because you change.
So that was not you. That was not you reported above the parking garage at O'Hare.
That was not me. In fact, I actually have proof that it wasn't me. I was actually speaking at a convention the night that it was spotted at O'Hare and Rosemont. I got out of my panel I was speaking, and somebody brought it up to me saying, Did you hear about the Mothman sighting? And I thought someone was screwing with me. Come to find out, no, 100%. There was an actual Mothman sighting the night of my panel, and I was just cracking a joke saying that I was going to be the panel person. Or I was cracking a joke saying that Mothman was there just to see my panel that I did.
It's totally possible. How many Mothman sightings have there actually been? I know of the one at O'Hare.
There has been dozens.
Dozen.
There's in the area by itself, you have a Mothman sighting up in Woodstock, Illinois. There's been several at O'Hare, Northwest Indiana. I was one of the ones, the witnesses that spotted it in Homewood, Illinois, right above the rock quarry. Yeah, there's been quite a bit. I think Xander is back, but it looks like Xander is also lagging up a storm again.
Xander is buffering.
This is the most exciting episode of Why We Bust we've ever
It
done.
really is. That's why you got to stay tuned because you
You
never
never know.
know.
You never know when Bob from Bob After Dark is going to jump on and try to be the guest of the show. As soon as Xander logs in and is working properly, I will disperse out of here. But I figured I would come in and help. I think Xander just dropped again. But that's
Yeah,
fine.
we have a question coming in here from the comment section.
Sure, hit me. What's the question?
Jack Girl here is asking, is there more than one Mothman?
If you buy into the theory that the same Mothman from the 70s in Point Pleasant, West Virginia is the same one that is still acting here in in Lake Michigan area, then be just one. However, there's been so many sightings from the Midwest all the way to West Virginia over the years that I'm one of the people believe that Mothman might be just a term for a larger colony of creatures.
Okay, so something that may have been here, evolved, stays in the shadows, just kind of is there evading us.
I would say so. I think it's safe to say I'm probably your guest this evening, Matt. So
Hey, I can turn on a dime, baby. It's whatever we
I
got.
suppose so, as I just smack my microphone because I'm such a professional, let me tell you. Sorry for blowing out people's eardrums.
No. It's
It's fine.
All right. So Xander is telling us that his phone has currently lost internet. So we'll give him another minute here and
No problem. Matt, how about I interviewed you a while ago, back when I was still hosting the show. And one of the things you were talking about was your concept of collecting and the what you were, how your life delved into more than just Ghostbusters, and you got the Turtles life and you got Transformers love and all of this other jazz.
Yes.
If you were to sit down and create a crossover,
Okay.
and you had to have three protagonists from your three favorite fictional shows as a child, which characters would be the team up in your fantasy cartoon there, Matt?
So are we talking, just like good guys and bad guys, just good
No,
guys?
you got to have the three good guys versus the three bad guys.
Okay. So the three good guys, they're going to be Optimus Prime,
Okay.
Michelangelo, and Doc Brown.
That is quite the team up.
It
Now,
really is.
I'm going to do my Mothman lurking. I'm going to be here just in case I need to jump in and chat more, but I think Xander's here for the long haul now. It looks like
I think we got a good.
they're actually working. So, I'm going to stick around, everybody. I'm going to be completely silent and just Mothman lurk until I have to jump in and chat again.
All right, keep lurking, Bob. All right, Xander, so you're back. You're crystal clear. I can see your movements aren't twitchy. All right. The screen.
I don't know.
So, all right. So, where we left off was, did you as a kid get dressed up as a Ghostbuster and, run around the neighborhood, shooting ghosts and trapping entities?
So, as I was saying earlier, if you remember the old real Ghostbusters Halloween costumes, where it was more of like there's a picture of a Ghostbuster on the actual costume and this horrible mask that would cut into your face if you wore too long. I had one of those. I specifically remember it was Egon. And I had the old Kenner pack. I had the old Kenner trap. I had a PKE meter with half of the antenna broken off.
We call that Ghostbuster patina.
Oh, of course. I remember, like, it wasn't even Ghostbusters related, but I found this old, like, a backpack-style water gun where you would strap it on. It had some weird thing. I pretend it was a slime blower. The kid that pretended he was a Ghostbuster way too much.
And that's okay. If this was during the 90s, it could possibly have been the Super Soaker 3000. Which was the backpack that had your Super Soaker, and yes, lots of fun. And I concur. I also pictured that as being the slime blower. So maybe that's probably exactly what that was. So one of your next adventures should be to track one of those down and make a slime blower. I see the wheels turning. Complete throwback stuff right there.
I can't say what my next big project is because if my wife is actually watching like she said she is, she might murder me.
we'll get there, or maybe we won't. So it's safe to say that you had a love for Ghostbusters when you were a kid. I think your mic just went off.
I'm making sure you guys don't echo. So I want you guys to have to do post processing to make it so I'm not echoey.
Oh no, you're all good here. So what was your favorite iteration of Ghostbusters growing up? Was it the movies? Was it the cartoons? For media's sake, what was your favorite?
Well, I loved the movies. I there's only so many times you can watch it without wanting to say, okay, I want something else. And granted, I was the guy that I watched it at least once a week. I think I still do. But that's why I loved the real Ghostbusters as much as I did, because I was able to watch it and get new stories. Like, I was actually a really big fan of Extreme Ghostbusters. I loved the heck out of that show. Like, even if they couldn't use a Cadillac for the Ecto, I mean, I still loved it.
Yes, I definitely agree. Extreme Ghostbusters, I think, if you guys can correct me, I think they just released it on Prime Video too. Because I know it was streaming on Roku. I believe it is on Prime Video now. So I do plan on going back and splurging and watching all of that. What equipment wise, you know, versus Real Ghostbusters versus Extreme Ghostbusters, were you more drawn to the Extreme Ghostbusters stuff because it was so different and you were looking for that little bit of something else?
Actually, yes. It's always been on my to-do list. I want to make an extreme pack. Even right now, I have an idea for a crossover, cross-dimension pack, I guess you want to call it, because it's different pieces of equipment together. It's how I actually play Spirits Unleashed, how I have this design. It's actually where I came up to do it.
Nice.
But I have a very specific style pack I wanted to make that involves some extreme equipment. But yeah, I love real Ghostbusters stuff, but for something about the boxy, but yet still somehow have curves and a giant handle for no reason, I love the extreme stuff.
Right on. Now, since you were probably around the right age to still, did you ever have any of the Extreme Ghostbusters toys?
I had the Ecto, and that was it. Like, it wasn't even like, because at that point I was just collecting. I was just when I just started to be a collector. So I had the Ecto, and I had it sitting right next to my old original vintage, like missing two of the door Kenner Ecto ones.
Yes, yes. And if you'll direct your attention to the top of the screen there, there is one in the box that I am very, very tempted to open at some point. Bob, that gets back to my collecting obsessions, because you never know what's going to pop up in Matt's collection. So you had the doorless Ecto-1, and did you have figures from the real Ghostbusters too that you kind of intermixed with everything?
Oh, of course. I had back then, like, Granted, like, these were all the ones I have from when I was extremely little, so definitely lots of paint wear on it. They were definitely well loved. But I had the original four guys. I had the fright features. I had a lot of ghosts, like, a lot of them. I had the, like, the stress ball style Stay Puft.
Yes.
But, yeah.
That's really cool. So you had a love for the movies. You had a love for the cartoons. And that's, I'm assuming, what ultimately brought you to wanting to join up with a team. So how did you first get involved we can go a little bit before that. Did you ever, you know, go in full gear before you became a part of any type of team?
Yeah. It was when I first moved to Texas from Arkansas. Because I graduated high school, nothing to do in Arkansas at the time. Like, there was nothing, no conventions, no nothing. I moved to Dallas, and it seems like almost immediately after I moved, they started getting fun stuff there. So, but after I moved to Dallas, I built my first pack, and it was a really old junk pack. It was made almost entirely of foam board. I had different little pieces of EVA foam. I had big metal washers for the cyclotron lenses. But I made all that. I had my black flight suit because I wanted to be different. And I went out and started just doing stuff. I was in a cosplay club at the time, and I was one of the only people that did Western style stuff. Everybody's doing more the Eastern, like, oh, this guy's from this anime, this guy's from this video game. There's Z and his Ghostbusters gear. But I remember the funny story. The first time we went to a big cosplay gathering. We were at the Galleria Mall, which is a really big mall in Dallas. Mm-hmm. And I see two security guards coming up to me laughing, like, hysterically. And they come up to me like, dude, we have to come talk to you. Like, some lady came up to us and said there was some guy walking around with a bomb on his back. Can we get your picture?
Oh, man, that's classic. That is, that, you know, to the untrained eye, I guess you just never know. So you did some stuff that was outside of, you know, joining a team, which I definitely commend you for, because, you know, sometimes jumping into a bunch of Ghostbusters can be intimidating, but being your own has its own set of challenges too. You know, being kind of the odd man out with, like you said, anime and all this other stuff that's super popular. When was that, early, like, mid 2000s, when there was kind of
that big... was 07.
Okay.
But that's when I finished my first pack. It was 07.
So it was kind of during that, you know, little Ghostbusters lull, where, you know, Ghostbusters was still relevant, but it wasn't, you know, on the forefront of everybody's mind. There wasn't really merchandise popping out everywhere. So you were on the fringe.
Oh yeah. That, DB fans and RPF days.
Yep. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that, man. We all got to start somewhere. So, how did you first get involved with a team?
I remember I started. I never actually. I joined them for a little bit, and then I went back to just doing my own stuff. Like, back when there was only like one team in Dallas instead of like five, like there is now. I joined the team for a little bit. I really didn't have enough time to go do much stuff with them, so I kind of stepped aside because I really couldn't commit to it. My first real team would be the, after I moved out of Dallas and back to Arkansas, I joined the Central Arkansas Ghostbusters. And I, the entire time I was living there, for I think like 3 years, I was with them. And it's a small team. It's still a smaller team, but I love the guys there. They're awesome. So we did a few things there, and then I ended up getting a wild hair and going, I wonder what it's like up north. Trade the subtropical climate for a more frigid one.
Definitely. Well, I mean, you're missing it. It's in the 70s today up here, man. It's definitely a beautiful day up here.
About 80 here right now.
All right. Well, that's, hey, you know, any type of weather that's not freezing cold, we'll definitely.
This morning was 32. It's 80 now.
Yep. Gotta love weather.
My wife will joke around, like, every time it gets cold, this is, see, you brought that weather back down here from the Chicago. Like, sorry.
Yep. Yep. Sorry, not sorry. It's going to be almost 90 later on. So, but what led you to first like wanting to join a group, a gaggle of Ghostbusters, if you will?
The community, being around more like-minded people. Something about being on a team just seemed like something I wanted to do.
Right on. What was the first appearance like with a team for you? Did it feel surreal, like putting on the gear and being with a bunch of other people, coming from being the lone Ghostbuster to being with a bunch of them? Like, was it?
I wallflowered my first event. Afterwards, I was nervous about being around everyone else. I was like, okay, I'm this new guy. I got the junk pack on. Everybody else got their vacuum formed or resin packs and stuff. Like, I'm over here, like, man, I'm worried mine's gonna fall apart, and if it gets too hot, and everybody else is looking like amazing. You see a sea of tan and khaki jumpsuits, and hey, there's Z in his black one. So I was really nervous my first few events. I didn't really talk to much people like I did when I was with you guys. I know you guys probably couldn't get away from me to shut up at some point.
No, man, we love you. Got to come back and visit us and do a couple of events. I love doing events with you. It's, you know, that's having somebody to talk to when you're doing stuff is definitely always a plus. And you're always a pleasure to talk to. Like I said, you're always welcome back up here to come join us. Now I know that for me, when I suit up, you know, like I feel a certain vibe. Like, do you ever have like your own vibe when you put on the uniform? Like, do you feel like you just like stepped out of the 84 movie, or you just stepped out of one of the cartoons and like you're ready to go?
Oh yeah. Whenever I get in the uniform, it's just because I've been going to conventions and stuff. First of all, I've been cosplaying for long, and now I work at a Ren Faire, so I'm constantly trying to stay in character for stuff. So whenever I get into that, like, as soon as the uniform goes on, I throw my glasses on, I am in character the entire time. So I love doing that. So I go from just Ring Road Z to, oh, head of the Paranormal Research Division. So
that's definitely a plus, man. It's get putting the uniform on and stepping out, staying in it is huge, because you never know who you're going to interact with and what kind of impression you're going to leave on people. So being able to do that, I definitely, you know, give you lots of props. Do you have any favorite moments from being suited up and out there busting?
Some of my favorite ones. This is actually one of my first few events with you guys. We were out at the one of the Halloween events. I can't remember the exact park, but we were out there and we were doing the Zinner cards. And this one kid was kept nailing them over and over again. Like, how the heck is this kid doing it? And you guys remember what I wore with my lab coat? I had my regular glasses that had my red shades on. And Dan looks over and goes, "He's looking at your glasses." This was right before he got his Stitches nickname. So. Oh.
Yeah. Well, good old Stitches Lombardo, let me tell you. Never a dull moment with Dan around.
Oh no,
that is one of those memorable moments that like you'll take with you, because you're gonna know next time you do those cards not to wear those glasses.
Oh yeah, every time I do the cards now, the glasses off. I keep the ones up here, but I take my little readers off. And like, hey, can't look at them now.
That's actually pretty funny, dude. I'm not gonna lie. All right, so we know what it's like when you're getting suited up. We know what it's like when you started out here and what brought you to that. I love watching and seeing some of this stuff that you have actually built yourself, because you are a prop maker. You enjoy doing stuff like that, and I love seeing your creations. You know. What got you into the prop building side of this? I know we discussed, like, what actually drove you to wanting to get your hands dirty, get in there with the Ghostbuster gear and tech and do it.
It all started back early, there was, you couldn't get good props. Like, you couldn't buy anything you wanted to. So like I said, I wanted a proton pack, and I was going to have to do it myself. And I couldn't go to Spirit Halloween and get a pack like you can now. You couldn't, you can't go out and buy like a toy ghost trap or a PK meter from HasLab like you can, like you do now. If you wanted something, you either had to go buy an old Kenner pack and repaint it, or just start getting stuff together and making it yourself. So like that foam and junk proton pack list started me building all my different props from everything.
So was that the first thing you built? Was
that was my very first prop I ever built.
Nice. Now, did you incorporate electronics into it, or was it
just a plain pack?
No question.
I didn't start putting lights in my pack until my third proton pack.
Really?
Yeah. Like the one you guys, I had when I joined you guys, that was my fifth or sixth iteration of a pack. So I'd built a couple other ones with electronics by then, so I was a little bit more comfortable with it. But yeah, my first electronics pack, the cyclotron didn't move. It didn't even have sound. Like, so I just had like a steady blue light from my power cell. My cyclotron lights were just four individual light up lights.
Well, and that's the great thing about when you're starting out. And I often tell rookies and stuff that, you know, you don't always have to go all out. If it's looking the part, and to your casual observer, it passes. That's what it's about, you know. And you took the spirit of that. No pun intended with Spirit Halloween. You took the spirit of that, and you really ran with it. And that's impressive, you know. And you definitely, you know, as somebody who does their own pack building and stuff, and I know you do too. We definitely encourage anybody who wants to do stuff like that, definitely to get involved in it. Cause it's a lot of fun and it's rewarding. You know, cause I know you like showing off your gear and stuff, and yeah. There's nothing wrong with being proud of the stuff that you've built. Now on those first packs that you were doing, was it that you wanted to do something screen accurate, or is it something that you really just wanted to do your own twist on it? Cause I know like my first one, I was trying to do, I'm looking at pictures in the books and stuff, and I'm like, okay, I can put this little bit of weathering and it matches this pack. I'll do this little, but was it like that for you, or did you just kind of take your liberties with it and make it just exactly the kind of the way that you wanted to do it with what you had?
So my first pack was, I tried to get it as close as I could with the materials I had to what I had on screen. Like I said, I printed out all the old all the plans you can get from GB Fans at the time. So I had all those intricate measurements. I even had the ones like, oh, you can make your bumper out of a Hot Wheels track. I had all these different plans. I was going through looking at my reference. I was taking screenshots from the computer at the time. I think it was like the old DVD where it just had like the four guys walking. There's a random Slimer coming off the side.
Yeah.
So I was going through, I had screenshots of everything I could, the really grainy, not high quality like you get now. But I was trying my best to make it look like as close as I could, where, okay, you can tell this 5-hour energy bottle glued to a piece of foam is supposed to be a clippered valve. That's close enough for me. I'm good.
You know, I never thought about that. It kind of would look like a clipper. Yeah. Maybe a little bit of melting, a little bit of pushing, and
yeah.
That's great. Now, of those first couple packs that you built, do they have names?
I didn't name my packs until my current pack.
Okay. What's your current pack?
My current pack is named Rosie.
Oh, how'd it get that name?
So I take care of horses now down here for the Ren Faire and stuff. We have this one horse that it's okay to swear on the show.
we like to keep it PG because there are children in the audience.
Yeah, so we without saying it, we got this horse. First thing that came out of everyone's mouth was, that's a big B. Because she's 19 hands tall. So I don't know if measurement. She's big. Like, she's considered extra, extra large for a horse. And I remember telling you guys this before I added all my video game stuff to my pack. Whenever I first added all my video game stuff to go put it back into my case, it no longer fit. Like, well, there goes that case. Now what? So my pack has always been the big B for a while. And then after I got down here and started taking care of the horses, like, Rosie, that's his name now.
I like it. I love stories behind the names on packs and stuff. That's really cool, man. I have my other pack
that I have a name, but it's just, I call it a specific thing, my Tainted Empire pack. Okay. Where I have the Tainted Love shoulder mounted pack with the Frozen Empire wrist worn. So I just call it my Tainted Empire.
That's perfect. Hey, it's a good mix. I like it. What's the most challenging piece of gear that you have built so far? And tell us about it.
Honestly, I think it has to be my Rosie. Because whenever I first built her, it was just a regular 84/89 style pack. And then I added the video game attachments. And then I started adding Frozen Empire stuff. So, like, my Rosie has a mix of pretty much everything except for 2016 on it. But that's only because I really couldn't find anything for 2016 to add to it at the time.
Nice. So it's kind of a hodgepodge of all the stuff that you just liked from everything.
Oh, of course.
Threw it
on
there.
You look at my wand, like, you got the 84 style wand with the slime tank attachments before you get all the electrical stuff in the game. I have the cheese slice on the side of the heat sink for that. I got the heat guard on the end of the wand tip. And then, of course, you move over to the pack and got all the slime stuff. I have an 89 ribbon cable. I have the the Afterlife yellow sleeved cable that goes off the side. And granted, I didn't use copper wires like in the movie. I used blue wires for mine, but I'm going from the clipper valve up.
Taking your own liberties with it and running with it is because that it makes people ask questions, right? Like, people look at your pack and they're like, well, that's different. You know, it almost becomes a conversation piece at that point.
Oh yeah.
Which is pretty awesome. Now, do you have any, I said, you may or may not want to talk about this. Do you have any upcoming builds or upgrades that you're working on that you're excited about?
So my big one I really want to do is I want to do a slime blower. I have the files. I am just looking at my printer going, do I want to do this now or not? Yeah, but I'm also wanting to make a 2016 style pack with an extreme wand.
Ooh. I like that idea. That's a good mashup right there.
Yeah, because it seems like those two mesh really well.
I could definitely agree with that. And like I was just saying a second ago, so you love to 3D print stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Is the majority of your stuff now all 3D printed and then refined from there?
Yeah, most of my stuff nowadays is either FDM 3D printed or resin printed. Once I got my first 3D printer, I never looked back from there. So I went from scratch building every possible thing, that's all I had access to being able to 3D print stuff and sand and paint, and get it to where I want it to look like. The 3D printers definitely made busting a lot easier of a gateway to get people into it now. So you don't have to rely on, okay, I don't have $1,000 to buy a HasLab pack, or I can't afford to spend $600 or so getting a kit from somebody. Okay, go buy maybe $100, $200 worth of filament, have about a month's worth of print time, and you have a usable pack kit you can have right there.
Right. At that point, it's kind of just, attach glue, sand a little bit, paint a little bit, and you're ready to bust, man. I agree. You know, 3D printing has made putting together equipment so much easier these days, and I'm glad to hear that you have found that niche of that. And are really running with it. So that's going to bring me to my next question. If you could invent a brand new piece of ghostbusting equipment, what would it be?
I've always, one thing I've liked about the game and stuff was how they had a separate containment unit where they were to study Slimer. And this actually leads, because I had this idea well before Frozen Empire came out, and I love the fact they did it. Having this an area like a research facility where you could study them, because I've always been into the paranormal stuff, and I'm waiting for Bob to show back up because I'm mentioning paranormal. But I've loved the idea of being able to study them. Like, even when I do my SCP Foundation stuff, I invented a whole section of the SCP Foundation for the Phantasmic Research Development. It's Phantasmic Research and Development. So even with that, I'm doing ghost-busting stuff. So.
Right. You always got your foot in the door on something paranormal. And that's pretty cool, man. I really like that. Now, do you have any advice for anybody that wants to start building their own equipment?
Don't get too caught up on the little details. You can easily lose yourself in a project by getting too hyper-focused on the small stuff. If you're starting out, I always tell people, don't worry about making stuff highly screen accurate. Get to how you like it. Get to where someone can look at it and go, oh yeah, that's a proton pack. Oh, that's a flux capacitor. That's a giant sword. Get it to where it's recognizable, but it doesn't have to be perfect. You can perfect your talents later on.
Absolutely. You got to start somewhere, start small, and, you know, don't let anybody tell you can't do it.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So we've learned a little bit about Xander's journey through all this stuff. I want to get your take on a little of what's going on in the Ghostbusters world now. What's your take on the new stuff, say Afterlife and Frozen Empire?
Oh, I love it. Like, I remember before the movies came out, like, I think it was still during Afterlife when we were all doing stuff. I had my bumper painted yellow. Just for the longest time. And then when we saw the trailer for Afterlife, I'm like, I did the thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, do you have a favorite of the two, Afterlife or Frozen Empire?
That's a good question. Out of the two, I still like Afterlife more. Frozen Empire is still a really good movie. I love it. But even after watching Afterlife as many times as I have, it still hits me. Like, whenever it gets to showing Egon, and then when the music first finally hits the end, still gets me.
There is something about that music, isn't there?
Yeah. And them keeping it to the very end before they actually played it, that, yeah.
Right. And as soon as that music starts, I can feel that tear start to well up. Like, I know what's going to happen. I know what's coming. Is it dusty in here?
It's more just cutting onions.
Yeah, someone's cutting onions. So if you could own any piece of memorabilia, prop, screen used item across the Ghostbusters expansive universe, what would that be?
Ooh. I mean, I know the generic answer to this was going, I want an Ecto-1. No, right. If I could have any screen use prop, I want the Guidometer.
Okay, fair answer.
Like, little piece of equipment that barely gets used in the movie, just like the slime scoop. I love those little bitty things.
And it's funny you mention that, because growing up, that actually the tips on that are microphone tips.
Yeah, the Radio Shack microphones.
growing up, my stepdad had a stereo with that exact microphone. I didn't realize it till like maybe 3 months ago when I saw something. I'm like, oh my God, I probably still have those at my mom's. So yeah. I may ask you for some files. Maybe we can make a dream come true here with spare parts. But that's the great thing about building stuff, right? Sometimes the spare parts you don't realize you may have around were used for something or could be used for something.
I've lost count how many times I'd be like, especially when I was working at like Walmart and I was stocking toys, and I come across those little wands where you hit the button and it starts spinning. Like, I wonder how hard it'd be to gut this and use it in a Geigermeter.
Right, honestly, probably not too hard. So that's like one of those things you keep a lookout at Goodwill, see if you can find one for 50 cents, and have at it. So what is your favorite part of being a part of the Ghostbusters fandom?
Just, I don't know, even now, like, as popular as Ghostbusters is, even now, like, they've got kids now that are way too young to even know what they're supposed to be, that are walking around Ghostbusters gear, walking around with equipment, like, t-shirts, and, like, Halloween costumes, like, man, I wish I had this stuff when I was little. But no, like, being part of this community and being able to share love, like, my favorite movie and stuff like that, I love it. Like, I cannot get enough of that. Like, I've been doing this, doing online forums, doing little meet and greets, talking with people since the early 2000s. And I've never stopped.
That's great. And that's a pure passion for this community and this entire fandom that, you know, when you have it's that bug that once you get it, it's very hard to stop or slow down with it. Am I right?
Oh yeah.
Now, have you ever met any of the cast or crew or anybody that's involved in Ghostbusters on the larger picture?
Well, there was that one time we all met McKenna Grace.
There is the one time we all met McKenna Grace, yes.
And that one time we almost got to see Dan.
We don't talk about that time.
We strike that as a promise. Okay.
Yeah. That will forever be in Windy City Ghostbusters lore, the time that we almost met Dan Aykroyd.
Right.
So far,
McKenna is the only cast member I've officially met, besides like random online chats with Janine's original voice actress.
Okay. Well, that there you go. That's pretty cool. But yeah, that McKenna's a sweetheart. I'm actually glad that we all were able to experience that. But now, is there somebody that you would like to meet?
Specifically, yeah, I want to meet Dan, not even just in Ghostbusters, though, because he actually believes in all the paranormal stuff like I do. So I would want to talk, not even talk Ghostbusters with him, but talk paranormal with him. And besides him, good old Egon's voice actor, because I love the fact that, oh, look, Egon has the brain as well.
More
Maurice LaMarche. I want to meet Maurice LaMarche so badly.
Xander, I will tell you, I wish you would have been here for Fan Expo back in August, because we did have a chance to meet Maurice. He is a gem of a man, let me tell you. So that just means that, you know, you may have to look out for the lineup, see if he's coming back next year because if he is, there's definitely that chance, buddy.
I came this close to meeting Ernie a few weeks ago because he was down here in Austin. But it was the same weekend that our opening weekend of the Renaissance Fair was. So I had to go work the Ren Fair while he was here in Austin.
Oh man. You'll have another chance. I bet you will. So if you could create a dream team of Ghostbusters, so we'll keep it to four. So you're one, that gives you three other Ghostbusters. Who would you want to assemble as your team?
Let's see, from the different teams I've been part of. So, me, Aunt Shannon. Let's see, my buddy Chris up in North Texas. And, I have to bring Bob in on that too.
Right on. Just keep Bob away from any type of tools.
Yeah.
Sharp objects.
Tools, sharp objects, anything that he may possibly be able to injure himself with. I think you've got a good team assembled there, Xander. That is definitely a formidable team. So what does, because we, you know, when we throw our flight suits and our packs on, we are Ghostbusters. That is what we are. What does being a Ghostbuster mean to you?
For me, I do it not just for the fun of it, because I love going out, especially if we're doing events. I love seeing like the look on the kids' face when they see all the Ghostbusters come up. I love doing the different charity events as Ghostbuster. I mean, that's why I started my Ghostbusters Extra Life team. Like, because look, go out and raise funds for the children's hospitals, dress up as a Ghostbuster at the same time as doing it. I mean, Last year, I played Spirits Unleashed for 25 straight hours raising funds for the kids. So,
yep. So that actually leads me into my next and last segment here with you is tell me more about the charitable work that you do, and tell all of our viewers and listeners here what it's about and how they can get involved.
So, with Extra Life is a charity with the Children's Miracle Network. Whenever you sign up, you get to pick your nearest Children's Miracle Network hospital. And while you fundraise for it, all the funds that you raise through different means get donated to that hospital. This year, I am raising funds for Dale's Children's Hospital in Austin. So anything I raise, either via doing my streams, selling the special patches, which should be coming in soon. I completely redesigned my Extra Life Ghostbusters logo. So I actually had help this year with that one. So thank you to the guys over at the Mowgli fan club for that. Thank you, Eric. So he designed the patch this year. Anything that raised was to that. And then on game day, which I believe is either the 1st or the 8th of November this year, we do our streams and keep trying to raise more money for it. I know not too long ago, I had raised $5,000 and got opened my big mouth and said I'd get a tattoo of my logo if I hit it. And man of my word.
That's awesome. So you're absolutely passionate about this. And, you know, from one Ghostbuster to another, like that is, there we go. Nice.
The light's not blinding it out. It's colored, but it's kind of, there you go. But yeah.
You are a man.
Only tattoo I have, and it was because I opened my mouth and said I'd get a tattoo of the logo if I hit $5,000.
Well, you kept your word on that, and that is pretty awesome. And if anything, that really goes to show your dedication to, you know, not only this franchise, but to the Ghostbusters community as a whole and the charitable side of this. You know, I think that giving back when we suit up is one of the most rewarding things. Do you feel that same way too?
Oh yeah.
Right on. So what's next for Xander here? What's next? You got any events coming up? You got anything you want to throw out there to promote for us?
Right now, unfortunately, most of my time is being taken up working the rent fair. What's season is over. I'll be doing more work with the Austin Ghostbusters. I have another team that I also run that I'm trying to do more stuff with. Like part of our branch in Germany just put up a huge display that looked freaking amazing. And besides that, more fundraising for the Ghostbusters Extra Life. I got 200 of our newly designed patches coming in. So I already have it on my donation page that if anyone donates $15 towards that, they automatically get a patch mailed to them. I'm also collecting different patches to make a stockpile that anyone who donates $10 can have their name entered into a raffle that at the end of the year, whoever's name gets drawn gets that entire stockpile.
That is pretty sweet.
Which reminds me, I need to get a hold of Dan and have Dan send me one of your guys' patches.
Well, you know where to find him.
Oh, yeah. In the ER. I mean,
I was message saying, him. Not bleeding out somewhere. So where can people find the information for this to help support your cause?
All right. So I sent you guys the link earlier. Right now, if you go to Extra Life's website, you can actually search for participants. I believe I'm either listed as Xander Price or Nerdy Notions. But you can also find the team just by looking up Ghostbusters Extra Life. And that will pull up every member of our team. So if you don't want to donate specifically to me and you have someone that's a little bit closer to you, you can donate to them.
Fantastic. Well, Xander, we commend you for all of your charitable efforts, and you know, we wish you the best of luck on doing all that stuff. We welcome you back here anytime to come bust with the Windy City Ghostbusters, because I know me, myself, and I miss you. And
yeah, dude.
We definitely would love to see you back here whenever time and life permits. You are always a part of our team.
I'm not even going to lie. Every once in a while, I take my shirt out of the closet, look at it, shed a tear, I'm going to put it back in.
Memories. Ah, see, I was trying not to sing tonight, but there we go. So, well, Xander, hey, we want to thank you for coming on to the show tonight and for being a part of Why We Bust. You have made this an exciting episode, and we're, again, just so glad to have had you on. So,
happy to be here.
Awesome. So, for all those out there in TV land and radio land and podcast land, we invite you back next week for another exciting episode of Why We Bust. Xander, I hope you tune in because you have now been a part of our show.
I will gladly be doing so.
All right, good stuff. All right, everybody, take care, and until next time, stay safe and keep on busting.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Why We Bust. See you guys next time when we look at another Ghostbuster and find out what makes them tick.
Memoriam Development. Memoriam Development.